Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution, where everything is made up and the points don't matter. I'm your host, Robert, and I am so glad I'm not Butch Hartman right now. And with me, I have...
So, if I'm Ryan Stiles, does that mean I hate you with a passion?
And...
There's a thing called Hot Cheeto Pizza, and I think it's in the Tyler to be on the go.
It joins the club of such prestigious pizzas as Nun Pizza with Left Beef. Hard to believe the guy who invented that would go on to create Young Sheldon.
Ew.
I'm not making that up. Y'all can look it up. It's the same dude and everything.
Oh, that is so sad.
Yes, definitely. Oh, and to answer your earlier question, Alex... I mean, you already hate my guts anyway, so aren't you already kind of Ryan Stiles?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Okay.
I mean, I also hate doing the hoedowns.
I bet you hate going under the desk, too.
Yeah, yeah. Now, where I put my, that toupee at, even though I have hair?
Who's lying jokes?
Yes. By the way, note to anyone out there who works like office jobs or everything, be very careful if you're going to watch scenes from hat compilations at work. People will notice, because you'll be laughing your ass off the whole time. Anyway, episode 90. We got 10 more until the big 100. How's everybody doing?
Not good. Boom, boom, boom. Because I woke up this morning... I felt like crap. I didn't know why. I called out of work. I went to urgent care, and it turns out I have strep throat.
Yeesh.
Damn.
That's the worst kind of throat.
Yeah, I just can't catch a break. And a couple months ago, they did that test and the mono test. Thought it was strep throat. Turned out to be mono. This time around, thought it was mono. Turned out to be strep throat. I don't know what... filthy bacteria is going through this city, but stop! Leave me alone! And I'm not gonna go to the Hardee's where the special is hepatitis.
Oh shit.
You didn't have any goldfish recently, did you?
Oh, no, I hate goldfish.
I'm telling you, man, the most bullshit snack food of all time. It creates the expectation that cheese and fish pair well together.
Hell?
They don't.
Yeah, they don't. But,
how does goldfish get... what it got again?
Something about the way in it? I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. They probably had Homer Simpson on, like, the assembly line.
Yeah, but in happier news, this past weekend, I found something I have been looking for at retail for 2.5 years. A vinyl copy of Dream Theater's The Astonishing.
Ah, your album of the year, 2016.
Yeah, and when this came out, it retailed at $100 because it's a pretty nice set. I only paid $27 for it, and it was still sealed.
Nice.
Yeah, although it's not sealed now because, you know, I actually listen to this kind of stuff because, you know, I'm not one of those weirdo collectors that just keeps everything locked in a freaking glass case. That's just boring.
I mean, on the bright side, if you do that, you'll probably end up on some fucking Netflix or TGS... TBS, TGIF, whatever the fuck show in like 2 years.
Yeah, maybe. That took a lot out of me.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
I ain't got shit. There. Nothing I have this week.
I see.
Yeah.
Anyway, as for me, well, finally got back out to the movies where I saw the biggest, most talked about film event thing of the month, it seems, so far. Yes, I finally saw Sorry to Bother You, and that is a damn fine movie. Damn fine, Mr. Boots Riley. But holy shit, that fucking movie takes some goddamn turns. I can't even say more about it, because that would technically be spoiler alerts. But seriously, like, if you find it somewhere near you, go watch it. It is a fucking trip. Also, we need Lakeith Stanfield in more movies.
Oh yeah, I mean to see that. Although it's not gonna come here because it's Alabama, and they don't sometimes play that. They don't sometimes play good shit here, or at least the one that's, you know, indie but good.
Ah, poor guy. And then we're recording this on Wednesday because on Monday I actually went out to a show that was quite a ways away from here. Like, it was like an hour 20 drive with traffic. Thankfully, like 50 minutes on the drive back. Yes. So I caught a buddy of mine, his band, like, they're the ones that, like, sold me the ticket because they wanted me to check them out and stuff, called Omnisium. You know, it's pretty good, technical death kind of stuff. And then as far as the big, three acts on the bill, of course, there was, Discarnate, the Roberts number two album of 2017. And that was a pretty damn, you know, killer set. Then afterwards, for all the deathcore kids there, there was, Lorna Shore, a band which is, okay, they got some good live presence, they know how to engage an audience, so there's, you know, that much to give them. And then, of course, the main event, as my buddy Briggs continuously calls them, a version of The Faceless. Which, I will admit, I did not stick around that long. Like, because first off, I had to, like, work the next morning. It was, like, a fucking almost hour drive back home. So, you know, I caught a couple songs and then just kind of bailed. You know, I gotta say something really funny, though. Like almost at the start of the set, I think, like, right before they started, a bunch of guys in the crowd were, like, all pointing at it like a TV at some point and going, like, ew, gross, shit. And I was like, what the fuck are they looking at? And that's when I noticed, like, something on the TV, did you guys know that Dr. Pimple Popper chick now has a TV show?
Oh, yes. What? I listened to a radio show every morning, and they've been talking about that. It is revolting.
What the
fuck? It's the kind of thing like a multi-car pileup where it's horrifying, but you can't look away. And I need you to keep something in mind here. This was playing... The venue that this was happening at is a sports bar. So you have a large gathering of fried greasy foods, alcohol, and TVs showing grotesque pimple and lesion removals. I didn't see anyone throw up. Maybe some of them rushed to the bathroom in time, but, you know, you think whoever, like, coordinates the television listings would think about that kind of thing.
Ugh. Addendum, don't ever look up the video, Two Girls, One Cyst. It is equally revolting.
Oh, no.
I won't. Man, there's a gross-out video for everything, isn't there? Under every type of name. Two blanks, one blank, five blanks, 47 blanks. Especially the 47 blanks.
Don't forget the most influential one of them all, two hardcore vocalists, one cup. Bing the mic.
Dumbass. Seriously, don't do that. Guys, why do they do that?
Because they want to be... They want to do super evil death for the ground. Yeah, they don't know how microphones work.
Okay, it's going to be fun to figure out how loud the volume level is on that when I go to edit this shit.
An hour later.
So that's... Yeah. Anyway, that's it for all the formalities. So now let's jump into the new song discussions, because there is quite a bit to talk about. So as always, there will be a link down in the description so you can follow along with us and judge our takes on these takes. So starting right at the top, breaking pretty recently, it seems, we got another new track here from the guys in From First to Last. You know, the band that used to feature Skrillex. And this is a song that also features Skrillex. It's been a while. It's been like a year and a half since the last one, I think. Whatever. And this one is called Surrender. And this one... Yeah, this one's janky as hell. I don't really think it works at all, like, even by scene core standards. Because, like, it has a pretty driving, energetic tone, all things considered. But, like, it's kind of undone by a few contradictions. Namely that the production of the instrumentation sounds really wispy and not all that there. The vocals are more, like, you know, chipper, whiny, and clean, but there's also these really awkward incorporations of screams. Like, they're just, almost like they're just put in there to remind you that, yes, this is technically screamo or emo in a sense. And the clean vocals as well. Like, the production on them is super weird, because they sort of inhabit this weird, like, you know that uncanny valley of vocal production where, like, it's just clean enough that it sounds auto-tuned, but at the same time, you're not really sure? It's basically that. It's just, I don't know, like, none of this really works, like, even by scene standards.
You know, whenever I hear this name, I always think of that one part of that one Jared Alonji Canadian softball song. We're going to miss from first to last. We're going to miss from first to last. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, what's there to miss, you know? But after listening to this, I certainly feel like going to Hot Topic to get some band tees and a stud belt. And I also don't want to do that because we're not in 2008 anymore.
Don't forget the bad pop cultural crossover band merch. That's the critical part.
Oh, yeah. Well, after the song itself, it's very it sort of ends in a very anticlimactic way. It just sort of, you know, stops like, oh, that's it? Oh, okay. See you for the next song, Skrillex, in 2 years.
Yeah, see, he had to go back to, I don't know, producing some shit for someone we've never heard of, probably. But anyway, let's move on from that to more relics of your high school scene phase, Born of Osiris. Remember them? They got really big in, you know, 2011 with The Discovery, which was a pretty damn good album, I will admit. And then they just kind of seemed to fade away, or at the very least, I completely forgot they fucking existed. And their last album, which I actually tried to hear relatively recently, sucked. But it appears these lads are putting out a new album sometime soon. And of course, you know, because of convenient timing, given that the Summer Slaughter tour is currently going on, we got a new track from them called Silence the Echo. And, you know, I know normally that the Born of Osiris sound is very synthetic in a lot of ways, like with a lot of, like, you know, epic soaring, like, MIDIs and, you know, those spacey synth keyboards typical to, like, you know, gent, you know, like that Jared Alonji Rectangles type shit, basically. And this one is marginally less as far as, like, actual proper synths. Like, you sort of get, like, echoing piano keys surrounding some minor touches of it, but it seems like most of the digitalness comes down to just how choppy everything is. Like, the fucking glitchy, you know, guitar rhythms and, you know, drum patterns and everything. A lot of the harmonic sweeps and slides in the guitar mix. And shit, even the chorus sounds more akin to Chelsea Grin than the usual spacey cosmicness that I would expect from a Born of Osiris track, but I guess it's technically more competent than anything off that last friggin' album.
I will say about 80% of the song is all right, but I can feel the chopped up guitar editing in real time, and it is not pleasant.
It's like that video where, like, Jared Dines got into a guitar off with Rob Scallon. You know the one?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, it's times. Just, please, don't ever do that. If you can't accurately play your staccato guitar parts without the use of editing, just don't do it. You will be called out for being frauds, and you will probably be called out by Glenn Fricker for using time alignment. Hey, two references in a row.
Hey! Anyway, let's move on from all of that shit to some non-metal shit with Jaylin.
All right, so you expect that, oh, maybe new album. No, it ain't gonna be a new album, but it's actually a soundtrack to a show called Autobiography, which from look at the album cover, it's basically about dance choreography or dance fight choreography, because look at the cover, is like the cover looks like one guy about to smack the shit out of this one person. Or at least dance fight. Look to me. So anyway, Miss Jaylin doing the sound to this, and she released a single where they're called The Abyss of Doubt. And you know how Jaylin does, you hear this very dark, phonetic sound, which it sounds already glitchy, and you even hear a couple atmosphere, and there's this one line. I'm trying to think where that line come from. Where they say, "They're all gonna laugh at you." I'm thinking, where did I hear that from? That line.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure that out too.
It's like, it sounds like something from a horror movie, but I don't want to guess. I mean, I would look it up, but I don't see nothing on the Steelgum article. But hey, it's some good old Jaylin that I'm going there. It's like more like you know, very phonetic, energetic footwork that I would ask from her.
Oh wait, I know what it is. That's what people always been telling me my entire life. They're All Gonna Laugh at Me. That's the name of my mixtape. Also, two Volume other one? Things. It's the name of Adam Sandler's first comedy album. And perhaps more relevant, apparently it's a quote from Carrie, it seems like.
I knew it was something like that.
But yes, that's about right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I dig it overall. Pretty steady groove, lots of scratchy, you know, stuttering, buzzing in the beat, and, you know, the off-kilter kick and snare placements. It's all pretty trimmed down as far as, like, you know, footwork, but, you know, it works. I mean, this is supposed to soundtrack something by, like, a project from a dance choreographer, so it feels appropriate. It's mm-hmm. probably not, like, footwork dancing they're doing. They better be.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on to an update on this here Knife Knights project that we discussed a couple weeks ago. Because we have some more information on them, it seems like.
Oh, yes. It's a project we're featuring Ishmael Butler of Shabazz Palaces and Eric Blood. So not only bring us not one, but two tracks this week. First tracks are Light Up Ahead, Time Mirage, and My Dreams Never Sleep. So mostly me do it when I go to sleep at night. we'll say they both got this, this hazy, you know, Shabazz Palaces feel, at least. And I'm talking about both of them because Light Up Ahead does have I think for me both got that what you expect from at least leaving here for something when it involves Ishmael Butler. And hearing that also, like, first one features people like countries from Porter Ray, Gerald Turner, Darius Arik, OC Knowles, and hey, Shabazz Palaces as well. I guess they brought up the other guy, I forgot his name too.
One Mark. You can't be forgetting these things. You're only 27.
You remind me I'm getting old. But I do.
We're all getting old. That's how time works.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like how it also with this very weedy guitar sound, at least from Light Up Ahead. Old spacey type of sound. And My Dreams Never Sleep. That one, maybe I kind of got a little bit less than the first one. I mean, this one's alright, but it's sort of like phasing out of my head. It's still got that very hazy sound, but it does sound interesting. I mean, I will have lyrics, but I forget. It's a Shabazz Palaces. It's something with Shabazz Palaces. I'm not good at this. Me the subject will be a nightmare.
Yep, that is definitely true. By the way, the other guy from Shabazz Palaces, his name is Tendai Marare.
Okay, that's the guy's name, because, I mean, I don't hear his name a lot. I mean, I hear the other guy, but hey, he's dope too, just so you know. But yeah, both these tracks are pretty dope songs.
Yep, you know, work pretty well. Very hazy vibe, lots of layering of vocals, with lots of that processy effects to sound all like dreamy, computerized, and weird and everything. Lots of clattering percussion in the instrumentation. All good. Now, for this next one, let's take you back to that magical year of 2010. The peak relevancy of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. You know, back when you could actually download that game on the PlayStation Network before they fucking pulled it for some reason. This is why you don't delete things, kids. You need to be, like, a digital hoarder. That's what I do. And, yes, you might remember, one of the evil exes was a bass player in a band called Clash at Demonhead, who did have a featured song performed on the soundtrack, but on the actual like movie soundtrack, that song was performed by the band Metric, who are coming out with a new album September 21st, which does not have a name. By the way, that's coming out 1 week after that new Knife Knights album, One Time Mirage. Forgot to mention that, by the way.
Yeah.
So Metric have released a new single, Dark Saturday. And, you know, it's pretty simple to the point. Driving, pounding, drum rhythm. The bass rhythm is pretty, like, heavy and saturated as far as its production. the vocal performances were pretty well, especially with that kind of, like, you know, sort of wavering, you know, sort of out of it vibe coated with, like, that typical indie kind of punk fuzz. I like it. Simple, just clean to the point, fun to listen to.
It's an alright song. I don't really have much to say other than it's got a nice groove to it. And apparently the music video for it was shot on an iPhone 10, which, that's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, they do some pretty clever choreography and editing between, like, the different points of view, which, okay by my book. Mm-hmm. Now let's move on to another September 21st release. This one coming from a band that's been around a hell of a lot fucking longer than Metric, that's certainly true. Prog metal stalwarts Voivod are coming out with their latest album, The Wake, on September 21st. And we have the lead-off single from that, Obsolete Beings. Or, as I call them, Trump voters. But, as for this song, you know, I'm a guy who's listened to, like, every Voivod album, just because I thought, why not? I need something to listen to. And, aside from one or two albums, they never really left a strong impression on me. So I'm listening to this one, I'm thinking, okay, first off, does this count as, like, I don't know, like, thrash, alternative grunge or whatever? Because it's driven by, like, this pretty, you know, fast-driving D-beat rhythms, yeah. But the guitars are very, like, hazy to the point of being moody in that almost Alice in Chains or, like, hell, even, like, a Vulgar Display of Power-era Pantera sense that kind of, you know...
Voivod is kind of a hard band to really label with a specific genre or subgenre. They're sort of all over the place, doing a little bit of thrash, a little bit of prog, a little bit of speed, a little bit of all kinds of metal.
Yeah, pretty much. But then when it actually gets into, you know, the chorus, that's when it feels like it all, like, coalesces into, like, you know, straight thrash, mostly because the guitar riff settles into something pretty, you know, fast and aggressive. Not to mention there's that very sudden, like, 6-8 time break in the last couple of minutes, and, I don't know, like, I feel like like I said, I don't really generally have much of a strong reaction to Voivod outside of, like, two albums from, like, the middle of their career or whatever. And so, again, this one's just kind of like, it's a song that's there, I guess.
Yeah, I'll say it's some solid stuff, a little bit all over the place, but it does feel a little bit like Mastodon in a way, if Mastodon was a little more French-Canadian. But I'm watching this video, and I gotta say, I didn't know Metal Jesus Rocks had a side gig as a bass player in Voivod.
Heh.
I swear, it's an uncanny resemblance.
The world is a funny place like that. But let's move on from that to something that is completely my jam in the realm of industrial blackened death metal. Yes, it appears the duo known as Annal and the Throck are coming out with their latest album on September 28th. Appropriately with the intimidating title, A New Kind of Horror. And here we have the lead-off single, Forward! Exclamation points. Now, as I said, Annal and the Throck, again, that combination of industrial black and death metal, which is basically the best you're going to hear this sound outside of, like, classic Strapping Young Lad, because we're certainly not getting that reunion anytime soon. But as for this one, it's more on the groovier end of, you know, Annal and the Throck jams, not as, like, thrashy or black metal-y as other ones. You know, the main riffs are ever so in the most corny and awesome sense, accentuated by samples of machine gun fire, you know, as it just fucking chugs aggressively throughout the whole thing. The vocal delivery, there's touches of that more ethereal screechiness to a lot of it, but most of it is more on, like, the growly low end, occasionally interrupted by, like, samples of, like, the creepy, you know, young girl voice in there. Oh, I should probably also mention there's occasionally what almost sounds like cash machine registers, like, punctuating the breaks and the grooves and everything. It's pretty in-your-face aggressive, which is my kind of shit. And, of course, I'll be waiting here with bated breath since I am a sucker for this band and this kind of music.
I wonder if that cash register noise is meant to say something. I wonder.
Yes, it's probably meant to say a lot of things. You know, if I can understand the lyrics. Because Annal and the Throck never really prints out lyric sheets for the music, as far as I know.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid banger, you know, from start to finish. But I gotta say this. Turn the gain down on the mic, otherwise you'll sound like me from 20 minutes ago.
Now that is a callback.
Yeah, seriously. We don't need that buzzy high gain distortion on vocals. Nobody does. Use it in bits and pieces, not through the whole song. It just comes across as distracting.
Alright then. So let's move on from that to this here band with the ever so marketing friendly title of Fucked Up. Yes, it appears these lads are back after their big 2014 release, Glass something, I think it was called. Why am I blanking on the name of that album? I know I fucking heard it recently, or like a couple years ago. Anyway, these lads are coming back with their latest album, Dose Your Dreams, due out October 5th. And of course, we have the big first couple of songs from here. The video lists it as one, but there's actually two tracks in it. So, the bulk of this is a track called Raise Your Voice, Joyce. And if you're at all familiar with this band, you'll of course sort of get the general gist of it. The sort of, mainly that contradictory mix of elements and extremes. It's got that very fast driving, you know, punk tempo and those aggressively throaty shouting vocals. Contrasted with like those very chipper guitar and synth melodies that almost kind of feel like, you know, the kind of jingles you would hear if you were like at, you know, a soccer game or something. And, you know, it's all very, the lyrics of almost contradict in a contradictory sense, also very literate sort of, because it's, you know, trying to tell a narrative, which I think is supposed to be technically following up on their 2011 release, David Comes to Life. Which, if you never heard that album, basically imagine a less weird version of Good Apollo, I'm Burning Star, Volume 1. Like, almost literally. Like, it's this kind of meta-narrative where, like, you have the main narrative about David, and then he finds out that he's just a character in a story being controlled by some asshole who keeps fucking with him for some reason. And apparently it's supposed to be, like, the same David, supposedly. And, you know, Fucked Up has never been my top absolute favorite, like, punk thing, but I definitely see what the appeal is if you want, like, that very experimental mix of extremes. And then, of course, you know, you get into the two eyes closed part, eyes for the record being the letter I, comma S, and this one is more just an ethereal bridge song of sorts, like, you know, the summery, hazy synths that almost kind of feel like if you took a krautrock song and took out the percussion. And the layering of all the vocal harmonies that feel like they're trying to evoke the Beatles, in a sense. It's just, like, it's almost exact with how, like, the harmonies all intersect with each other against, like, the serene droning keys and everything. I'm sure some people will find this their jam. I probably will give the album a shot when it comes out.
Now, I've heard of these guys here and there for a while, and I hear a band with the name Fucked Up, and I expect their music to be a bit more, you know, fucked up. Like Dillinger meets Mike Patton, fucked up. Yeah, it's still solid enough music, but not quite that insane rage banger level I expect from the name. And that second song, where it sounds like, you know, something Lennon and McCartney would write high on acid, that just sounds all kinds of weird.
Yes, it is definitely very weird. Although, personally speaking, I think I'm still going to be jamming The Armed by that point. You know, we should probably switch that around. Like, these guys would probably be called The Armed, and, you know, The Armed would be called Fucked Up. That would be way more appropriate. I'm just screwing around here. But anyway, on to the next song here. And we have to talk about these guys.
It was inevitable.
Greta Van Fleet. How the fuck do they not even have an album out yet? I didn't know that. Because I was reading this, like, they released a new single called When the Curtain Falls, off their upcoming debut album, which does not have a name or release date. So let me get this straight. They got all this hype and all of this, you know, festival attention from a freaking EP? Like, what the shit, man? What the fuck?
Spotify metrics. That's what.
So what, are these guys like the Drake of retro hard rock throwbacks or something? Are we going to see Greta Van Fleet as the thumbnail on the Rap Caviar playlist? Because, yeah, When the Curtain Falls. Again, we've said it before, it's literally just Led Zeppelin, except lame. Next.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to continue being one of those guys that just says, these guys sound like Led Zeppelin, but Like, it's not even close. Like, I understand retro throwback and paying homage to your influences, but don't make it so one-to-one, you know?
I mean, shit, at least Train bothered to mix things up by taking Led Zeppelin and making them suck.
Don't even start. I will go off.
Hey, hey, that going off, that's a different podcast, man. By the way, shout out to Muse and Rap Critic of Going Off. That's a good podcast. Anyway, let's move on from that to something that at least has some more prestige to it. Anybody feel like smacking a bitch up? No one? Just me?
I got this flamethrower. I feel like I should start a fire.
So, yes, as you can tell, we're talking about The Prodigy, who have a new project coming out November 2nd called No Tourists. Of course, we have the lead single from that album, Need Someone, one spelled like the number one here, because, you know, electronic. And, you know, I admit I don't know much about The Prodigy. I feel like if I did, I'd probably have more to say other than, like, the song itself is, well, it's really repetitive. Like, it just kind of repeatedly vamps on, like, this kind of squeaky, buzzing, stuttering, like, electronic rhythm that almost kind of sounds like you're, like, stabbing a squirrel to death and looping the sound, with some occasional vocal samples in there to kind of break up the monotony, and, you know, some occasional touches of synthetic guitar and bass in the mix. I'll say, I mean, I really like the video, at least. That's something. I mean, these guys always do cool music videos, but yeah, I can't really tell you anything bigger about how it slots into the bigger picture of The Prodigy.
Yeah, so this track, at first I thought, this sounds a little bit weird for The Prodigy, because, like, I'm looking to buy singles, or at least the heard of singles, mostly through movies. But yeah, this is something I would hear from him, like, you know, from the, from production, the vocal samples, which will nice add a bit of soul to it, with its repetitive trumpet touching behind it. But yeah, this is an okay track from The Prodigy. Yes, like, I keep saying "duh" because I can't confuse the other one with the one that's. I'm done here.
Yes, we know. Avoid the confusion. The confusion, in fact. Anyway, moving on to the last on the list here. So, it turns out that the lads in Muse are, in fact, releasing a new album due out in November, and we don't have a name yet, but we do have another song here. Whether the previous singles we've heard from them in the past few months or so will be included is up for debate, but this one is called Something Human, and let's see, finger snaps and random clicks in place of actual percussion, barely their acoustic guitar in the mix, these light droning synths in there, high-pitched vocals that are annoyingly breathy, all swirling together into, like, some obnoxious electro campfire jamboree thing. Yep, Muse is trying to go Imagine Dragons, it feels like.
Now, I have to ask, was this really worth adding in to the list? Was it worth it?
I don't know, man.
Was it really worth it?
Okay. Let me just hum you the melody of this song. That way everybody knows how it goes. Da 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 da. Sound familiar? It should. That's the melody of Every Breath You Take by The Police. Did Muse sample the melody of a Police song for this?
You know, I could just listen to The Police right now.
Yeah.
Instead of this.
And on top of that, are there really any physical instruments used on this track? Because it all sounds like it's just electronics, MIDI, sampling, and I'm pretty sure whatever acoustic guitar is there in the background that you can barely hear, I'm sure that's just sequenced using some software. Like, I can tell you, I have software that can sequence acoustic guitar chords. It's very simple to do. And three, This is the weirdest Ready Player One promo I've ever seen.
Yeah, this whole... Oh, no. What the fuck even is this video? It's like a video concept that, like, Carpenter Brute tossed away because it was too stupid and undignified. But at least we can tell you where it takes place, because as we all know, there is now only one Blockbuster Video in the entirety of the U.S.
Nowheresville, Oregon.
Pretty much.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they closed the one in Alaska.
Damn.
What's gonna happen to fucking that dude's jockstrap? What was his name again? Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
I mean, maybe they could sell that to the fucking Nowheresville one. But yeah, this video was literally just him returning like a videotape to a Blockbuster in like a neon-fueled pseudo-by-lighting nightmare.
With a VR headset. Hence the reference to Ready Player One, which, don't buy it.
Oh.
It's not worth buying. Really, it isn't. And the book is even worse.
Oh, I heard about the book. I heard about the book from friends.
Nobody likes the book.
No.
But we're done with our grousing here and discussing of these songs, so we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we got some topics here that might take up quite a good bit of time. So stay tuned for that. And we are back. So we have three topics to discuss here, but they all may take a bit of time, so let's try to get through this as efficiently as possible. First up, something that we missed last week, because it literally popped up in our feeds right around the time we were recording, the nominees for the 2018 MTV Video Music Awards, aka, seriously, these are still a thing? Who's still watching? How is this still making money for the network? What's going on?
And it's just as much bullshit as it ever was, if not more so this year.
Although it's very last year to have a 2018 analog to damn. But we'll get to that when we get to that. Let's, of course, go down the nominees. And I'm just doing this in linear order. I don't care to like screw around like non-chronologically. So the big one, of course, Video of the Year. And the nominees are Ariana Grande, No Tears Left to Cry. Bruno Mars featuring Cardi B, Finesse Remix. Camila Cabello featuring Young Thugmane, Havana, The Carters with Ape Shit, Drake with God's Plan, and the award goes to Childish Gambino for This Is America.
It better.
I mean, come on, they did the right thing last year and gave all the big awards to Kendrick. So at the very least, they know the obvious hype train is obvious.
They gonna fuck it up, aren't they?
Oh yeah.
Anyway, Artist of the Year. The nominees are Ariana Grande, Bruno Mars, Camila Cabello, Cardi B, Drake, and Saucy Postman.
Oh, God, this is dire.
What's this next one here? Song of the Year. The nominees are Bruno Mars featuring Cardi B, Finesse Remix, Camila Cabello and Young Thug on Havana, Drake's God's Plan, Dua Lipa's New Rules, Ed Sheeran's Perfect, and Post Malone featuring 21 Savage with Rockstar. Yes, we're going to keep doing that joke because it's still funny. Anyway, anyone want to cover Best New Artist?
I will. So we have Bozzy, Cardi B, The Future of Music, as said at WrestleMania, Chloe and Halle.
Wait, seriously?
I don't get it either. Hayley Kiyoko. Little Pump.
Gucci Gang.
And Mr. All My Friends Are Dead, Push Me to the Edge, Lil Uzi Vert.
Oh yeah, the number one fan of the Faceless. Yeah, that's fucking weird.
Okay.
But, you know, he likes what he likes. Anyway, Mark, you want to cover Best Collaboration?
Yeah, sure. I'll go with that. Best Collaboration. If it wrecks, featuring Florida Georgia Line, meant to be.
Boo!
Bruno Mars featuring Cardi B. Finesse remix. The Carters, Ape Shit. Jennifer Lopez featuring Won't Eat Pussy and Cardi B. De Niro. Logic featuring Alicia Cara and Khalid. 1-800-273-8255. Yeah, the number. And last, Rob's favorite. In Nerd Future Beyond of Living.
Fuck you both.
Hey, we gotta get some fun out of this bullshit.
Oh my god. And, you know, I just realized, didn't they nominate Logic last year?
That was for Black Spider-Man.
Right, but that was like that off the same album, though. Like, in the same, like, few months span of time. They could still nominate him? That's weird, man.
As long as the video comes out in a certain span of time, sure.
Yeah, I'll never understand the cutoff dates for this shit. Anyway, yeah. This thing, Push Artist of the Year, I have no idea what that exactly means as a categorization. But apparently...
I'm going to try and find out what that means. Push Artist MTV. This is apparently something to do with something called MTV Push, which is their Artist to Watch program, something. I don't know. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah, all we need to know is apparently there's like at least 14 months worth of nominees, because they're separated by like each month or so. So from May 2017 to July 2018, the nominees are, in chronological order, Noah Cyrus, Kyle, Super Duper Kyle, Khalid, Casey Hill, SZA, the only artist here worth a damn.
Yeah.
Woo!
Pretty Much. Literally, there's an artist called Pretty Much.
Okay.
Why Don't We? SZA, Pretty Much. Why Don't We? Is this trying to trick me into saying a full sentence or something? This better not force me to spell iCup. Bastards. Anyway, Grace VanderWaal, Bishop Briggs, T. Grizzly, Jesse Reyes, Haley Kiyoko, Lil Xan.
Ew. You mean Dollar Store Takeshi 6ix9ine?
Oh, damn, that's brutal.
You heard about that, right?
I heard.
Yeah.
Damn. Anyway, Sigrid and Chloe X Halle. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Now, let's see here. For Best Pop, the nominees are Ariana Grande, No Tears Left to Cry, Camila Cabello, Young Thug, Havana, Demi Lovato, Sorry Not Sorry, Ed Sheeran's Perfect, Pink's What About Us, and Shawn Mendes' In My Blood. And now, time for Mark to lay down some fiery hot takes with the nominees for Best Hip Hop.
Okay. Oh, damn. For Best Hip Hop, Cardi B featuring Savage, Roddy and Cardi, The Carters with Ape Shit, Drake with On Love My Baby My Mama, I'm Sorry, J. Cole with, oh damn, J. Cole. J. Cole with ATM, Migos featuring Drake, Walk It, Talk It, and Nicki Minaj in Chungi's the Good Guy. What the fuck?
That is true.
Most average motherfuckers don't have shit. Damn.
And now, time for the only one of us with the natural born tan to jump in on this category, Best Latin. The nominees are Daddy Yankee with Dura, J Balvin and Willie William with Mi Gente, Jennifer Lopez featuring DJ Khaled and Cardi B, Dinero, Maluma, Felices Los Cuatro, Shakira featuring Maluma with Chantaje, or Cantaje, I'm not sure how this is pronounced, and last but not least, Alexa, play Échame la Culpa by Luis Fonsi and Demi Lovato. Wait, is that how the meme goes? I think it might be a different song.
No, it's Alexa, give us Despacito 2.
Actually, what if this is Despacito 2 and we don't know? I mean, have you heard this song? I haven't. I can't confirm for sure.
But there's no Daddy Yankee on it, or Justin Bieber for some reason.
You never know.
Ain't that a good thing?
You never know. Maybe they couldn't afford them for the sequel. You know how sequels work. Anyway, now for the one where me and Alex get super, super salty here. Best Rock.
Oh, wait, did you? I think you skipped one.
Who cares about Best Dance? I mean, fucking David Guetta and Sia, Marshmello and Khalid, Chainsmokers, Calvin Harris, Avicii, Zedd, whatever.
Skip, next.
No.
Besides, we want to get to the salt. That's what the fans want. They want the salt.
Okay. Oh. You can call this anything other than Best Rock because one of the songs qualifies as rock, okay? The rest of it is just EDM, trap rock, Imagine Dragons bullshit.
In fact, there actually is a nominee for Imagine Dragons with Whatever It Takes. There's Fall Out Boy's Champion, Panic at the Disco's, oh god, Save and Saturday Night. That song was so fucking annoying. 30 Seconds to Mars, Walk on Water. Linkin Park, One More Light. And the only one of these that actually technically counts as rock, Foo Fighters, The Sky is the Neighborhood, even though that was one of the lesser tracks off that lesser Foo Fighters album. So, when the best song is that, yeah, it says something pretty dire about the nominations of the state of mainstream rock, don't it?
Yeah. It's a two-pronged sword. On one hand, MTV continues to not give a fuck about rock, and you know, on the other hand, the rock scene continues to not give a fuck about rock. It's just... ugh.
Just fuck. Why? Anyway. Damn. And now for the part where Mark apparently wanted to get really salty. The category, Video with a Message.
Okay. Nominee for this is... Dutch Loaf and Brian Bridges, Liberated. Janelle Monáe, Pink. Jesse Reyes, Gatekeeper. Logic Feature, Alessia Carr and Khalid with the Suicide Hotline Number. And the winner is Josh Kidman on This Is America and nothing else. That's it. Let's go home.
It better be.
Okay. Oh, okay. Damn. Fuck it. Who nominated God's Plan as Video with a Message? What's the message of that song? It's a message that, okay, oh, was it that Drake gave money to people, which, okay, that's cool and all, but didn't that, but, I don't know, but didn't that also have a message of like, oh, that one lyric where it says, I don't love my bed, my mama, which my bed happens to be the money of his, you know, his kid, the kitty head. What message is that?
Sometimes he feels good, sometimes he doesn't. That's the message.
That's a corny-ass message. Like,
Drake. You expect him to, you know, stop being corny that... ever?
Yeah. What am I thinking? What's going to suck about it is they might pick that because ain't this an audience, an audience voted polls and shit?
Yeah, that's pretty much most of this shit.
We're fucked.
But, yeah, and then there's all, like, the technical categories, like best direction, best art direction, choreography, visual effects. And throughout, most of these are kind of the same, you know, nominees as, you know, the bigger name categories. You know, that Bruno Mars, Cardi B shit, Camila Cabello, Young Thug, The Carters, fucking... of course, Childish Gambino, which, you know, if that doesn't sweep all the technical categories in the same way that Damn did, again, someone's messing up.
We want Gambino to be our Kendrick Lamar award winner of this year. Give him all the awards.
Yes, all the awards. Even Best New Artist.
You have to
find a way to squeeze him in there.
Basically, you shot to Kendrick since he only got for Best Visual Artist, Best Visual Effects for all the stars.
Yeah, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll cross the bridge there when we have to get to it.
Yeah, because we're going to have to be watching this. But thankfully, we'll be able to record our usual... why the fuck is this on a Monday?
See, I knew there was a reason Garfield hated Mondays. Damn it.
Bitch.
In the way of our shit. But anyway, let's move on from that to news that at least makes me a little bit happy. We've got some expansions and alterations to the Adult Swim Festival lineup. Again, taking place through the weekend of October 5th through 7th at Roe DTLA in, you know, L.A. So, you know, we have the two big main days, but first off, it's worth noting that there is a preview night. Friday, October 5th is the preview night, and there are some music acts performing at that, you know, little thing. Specifically, Open Mike Eagle and T-Pain performing tracks from Freaknik the Musical. Y'all better remember that one.
Ooh.
But now let's get into the actual day lineups for October 6th and 7th. Now, I actually looked very carefully at, you know, the posters and stuff just to make sure what alterations there were beyond the adding of bands and stuff. And it turns out there were a couple, you know, not just the adding of acts, but that a couple acts were switched between days. All right, so Saturday, October 6th. So we already know there's stuff like Chad Van Galen, Calm Trues, Dawn, Joe Firestone and Joe Para of Joe Para Talks to You, Hannibal Burgers, Kitty, Thundercat, Wave, Soul Jesus, all that stuff. Now let's discuss some of the alterations here. First off, probably the big one, Code Orange has been moved to Sunday. And On Cinema Live featuring Dakar and DKR and High on Fire would both move to Saturday. Now, as for the new additions, we have Clams Casino.
Yes!
DJ Dog Pound. Father. Flying Lotus.
Oh, of yes! Course.
J.G. Thirlwell Zordox. Whatever the hell a Zordox is. I mean, he's got a lot of fucking like projects and pseudonyms, but I don't know what this is. At least if it involves some Venture Brothers stuff, I'll be happy. And of course, the Atlanta Golden Boys Mastodon. Wouldn't be an Adult Swim event without them. And now let's move on to the Sunday, October 7th lineup, where as far as, you know, the pre-existing stuff, you know, there's Ahmed Barukia and Nick Rutherford, both of DreamCorp LLC. In fact, you may have seen, you know, the DreamCorp LLC promos for the Adult Swim Festival that have been airing recently. Very humorous. Of course, Dan Deacon, IDK, Jenna Friedman, Juliana Barwick, Run the Jewels, Shigeto, Santa Sarah's, all that stuff. And as far as new additions, there's Chaos, Neko Case, Power Shrimp.
Woo!
Yeah. And even John from Delocated.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, cool. If it's John, but is he going to take off his mask and reveal himself to be Neon Heel?
Yeah.
That's probably going to be a trip and a half.
Yeah, it probably will be.
And sadly, we're all broke as hell, so we're just going to be, like, you know, hearing about it through the sidelines.
Yeah. Hey, Adult Swim, put it up on your live stream. Everybody will watch it.
You do a live feed.
Email us all free tickets while you're at it. Come on.
Yeah. Must be. I'm excited to see Run the Jewels, Power Trip, Mastodon, Thundercat, Hannibal Burris, and Flylon here, but I will be damned if I miss out on seeing Master Mr. Unknown Henson perform.
Oh, yeah, he's still there, too.
Yes.
I mean, come on, you shared the Fully Coolly Progressive review, which I'm still thankful for, so come on, dude.
Yeah. And you know these little boy Clans Casino and all the other motherfuckers you mentioned. This is Thundercat 90K. You that shit.
And I need to finally see Mastodon live for the first time. My fucking boy in New York saw them, and he doesn't even know them all that well. You know, so I'm touring with Primus, the fucking bastard.
Damn.
But yeah, you know, obviously there's still, let me see here, I think a few question marks maybe that are still, you know, need to be filled in on some of these days, so we'll have the full lineup soon enough, and I'll have to, you know, update this list yet again. But that's it for the actual news propers, but we still have one more item of business to get to here. Yes, after having like about a month or so to meditate and marinate, you know, like a well-prepared pork chop or chicken breast or whatever, we are here to give a proper send-off on our end to the 2017 and 2018 Adult Swim Singles Program by, of course, you know, discussing our favorite tracks in a ranked order, because as we all know, countdowns generate clicks, and Daddy needs to afford his booze. But before we move on to that, let's get to let's just point out some weird stat quirks and, you know, percentages, numbers, and all that stuff, because I am a fucking nerd of that shit after all. So just some funny things to point out. Of course, the majority of songs, when you break them down, are mainly hip-hop and electronic jams. Like about, let's say, average 20 songs between each category, although some kind of overlap with each other, like if you would consider Flying Lotus both hip-hop and electronic, which he is. There's about 5 R&B songs, 2 punk songs, 2 alternative rock jams, 2 jazz tunes, 7 whole metal songs, which is certainly the most that have ever been featured on any of these, 4 indie jams, and 2 category as other, let's say. I'm probably still missing a thing or two here, but that's basically how it breaks down. You know, hip-hop, electronic majority, the other stuff is like, you know, 1/3 to that, 2/3. And as far as previous features, there are approximately 19 artists on out of these 62 who have been featured on previous compilations in one form or another. So that's just shy of 1/3 of the list, with about 2/3, you know, new guys and stuff. Now, out of the 62 we got, the artists that were originally announced, that were, you know, in that first wave announcement that DeMarco posted, that ultimately ended up not being featured for this or that reason, the unused artists were Big Freedia, Father, Maxo Cream, Sophie, Waka Flocka Flame, YFN Lucci, and thank God we didn't get no Migos. Dodge that bullet, man.
Oh, yeah. Dodge that bullet.
But that's it for the nerding out. So, now we need to actually get into our rankings of our personal picks. Warning, this will be mostly me and Mark. Alex will just be sitting on the sidelines and chiming in whenever he feels it's appropriate. So let's actually have Mark, you know, say his thing first. Get his piece out of the way.
All right. All right, now, this will be pretty quick because I got not a long list, but more like, you know, I got like a top 15, and I'm going to do quick honorable mentions. So I'm going to get out of the way. My honorable mentions, they are Venetian Snares with long ass track, I'm not gonna say, cause fuck it. let's see, Custom Stillman with The Rain Like Curses. Lone Theory with Broadway and Daily. Dawn with, oh no, shit, what's that? Oh, Waves. Zaytoven featuring Bankroll Fresh, Young LA, and Twista with Pulse 2. And Bosco with Mortal Kombat, those are my mentions. They are very, you know, fine tracks. They're good tracks, but just not enough to be the top.
Huh, I didn't think you'd actually enjoyed that Zaytoven song.
It grew on me. But yeah, I'm gonna get now to the quick and dirty. Or okay, maybe my top 15. And let's start with, of course, number 15, the one artist that I immediately ended up loving last year, who got a shine, I think, on the XXL freshman list, I think. And that is IDK with Baby Scale. And I gotta say, man, this dude really got me into his music. Like, it may be good into his album, which I think is my number three, which is actually my top rap album of that year. And plus he got away with both trap and inside of hip hop, which he can rap both on conscious and trap shit. Like, this is definitely a rapper that I've been keeping my ears on all the fucking time. This dude is bound to have a good career, bring his good bangers. So I'm gonna keep on moving. So, but yeah, IDK makes good shit. Number 14 pick, it is Kitty with Rick Cole. That just sounded.
Actually, it's Rick-cord.
Once again, we got another good cut from Kitty. Yeah, she continues doing her, you know, more poppy more poppy style music, and hopefully we get an album for her soon, since she tweeted something about that. which I hope is good, which I hope we get some info on that soon. Please, Kitty. Please.
Please.
All right. Number 13, we have... Yeah, I'm looking right here. It is... Man, my handwriting sucks. The Field with Staircase. And like I said, this is one mesmerizing track from start to finish. This track really just got me feel like... Got me all the spacey weird shit that I generally love from this, and the more I listen to it, the more, every people listen, I just keep on getting to it more and more. And with the Field got this whole very wide spacey atmospheric type of sound that I really got into. This is definitely some good shit. Number 12. Hero Drew with You the Type, aka one big kind of song that I love, that keep going back and forth over, like You the Type that wipes his ass before his face, like damn, that is, I mean, like this is one song that I keep laughing my ass up over and over again.
That's some nasty shit, man.
Nasty shit. Oh, man. Man, I need to continue listening to the old Drew, at least in my free time, which I ain't got much. That's just me. Number 11. This one very expected. 319, aka Walter's Point Never, and Ishmael Butler from Spaz Passes with The Rapture. And you know how to put on this list. You know that when you put OPN and Ishmael Butler is like a very experimental peanut butter and chocolate. When you get them together, you have a very, very spaced out and high ass Reese's.
Tasty.
And this track combines the best of both worlds about them. You get the reproduction of Wanderers Point Never, and you get the cryptic weird lyrics of Ishmael. And give him Spaz Palaces. This track, I can see, like, it's just like another one of those covers that Ishmael always does since he did one with Flying Lotus and Thundercat, I think, two years before, at least 2016 or 2015, I can't remember, but yeah, I see why Ishmael does collaborations now. Oh, okay.
2015, when they were called Woke.
Oh, that's what the fuck they were called. Okay. All right, but yeah, this track is banging. Now number 10, a track that you probably never would think I put on this list, and that is Duha featuring Awkwafina, Your Dystopic Creation doesn't Fear You. Which you gotta wonder. Wait, I put that track on there? Yes, I did.
Ah.
And I do like this no rock, this whole very rockabilly type of style of music.
Like, from what we know from you doing this podcast and stuff, you do have a soft spot for like some alternative psychedelic stuff, like in the Aerial Pink sense.
Yeah, that's true. And also, while listening to that song, I actually got, I like Duha. I do like Awkwafina's part here as well. Also got me discovering a little more of her. Which she does okay, and she's doing big now since she got Ocean's 8 in that crazy Rich Asians movie coming out soon. At least that's what I heard from her. But anyway, about that, yeah, the song's really fucking good. This definitely the shit that I dig. And now number 9, one you also expected, Flying Lotus with Heroes Part 5. But hey, what can I say about this track, man? Like, Flambos continue to do his damn thing on there. And, I ain't got much to say except this shit sounds good. And a very fitting way to end this singles program, at least in my opinion. Number 8. And that would be Future Islands with Calliope. Which I hope I'm saying it right, but yeah, that's it right now. Like, this is like, okay, like,
yeah, it's Calliope.
Okay, but like I said, I heard the main thing before on Silver Chucks, but hearing him on the show, like this is very, you know, very, yeah, like I said, like once again with Dude, this is very much my style of what I like about very, you know, very alternative psych that shit. Well, I ain't got much to say about this, but this, like a few listens into this track, this really got me into the whole beat touching of it. Like this shit is good. It's good, but man, I ain't got much to say about it. But yeah, I'm gonna go on with number 7. It's and again, the film fifth number 7, Thundercat with Final Fight, and this just sounds like this will be in a final fight of a final boss fight, or at least heading away to the final boss fight. Like you got everything from the jazz, from the to the warbling keyboard. This is definitely amazing to listen to. All right, number 6. And this is another expected thing to do. Self Deliza. Yeah, fucked it up. Matt Woman. And yes, I know I fucked the name up. This track is definitely something that I would. It's very haunting. It reminds me of that moment you get when you have enough rage that you plan something. This is that song where we have that moment. This is pure cocaine of music, or at least okay, maybe not cocaine, but more like it's pure bliss. And yes, you're supposed to delay again, which damn, I hate these delays. But anyway, we got number 5, and number 5, this definitely went my top 5, and that is from the album of. That I like the most in 2018, Dab Rain, Ghostface Killah with Emancipated. Now it's no secret that this year I love both Dab Rain's out, well, Todd Malinu's albums, both Dab Rain and Exaltera. But this track really got me hype for the album coming out, and him with another, and Ghostface killing it as usual. This shit is a certified fucking banger. I really love the hell out of this, and it makes me glad that the artist himself, Dab Rain, really got me into this project, and also give me a like on this review of X Ultra. But hey, likes a like, I take that shit. Number 4, you got Lord Raja with Zoro, and I thought it was the guy from One Piece he was referring to, but I don't know. But yeah, like we got another one of Lord Raja's more electronic hip hop tracks, because this does have that has this more hip hop vibe with the default going like there's the loud, there's the, yeah, like go like that. But yeah, this is definitely like a low key vibe track, and Lord Raja knows good beats, man. Lord Raja does know good beats. Hell, I think on Twitter today he liked the Metro Boomin beat, which I'm actually wondering what's it gonna be now. But too bad, like he knows some good taste in production, and here as well is pretty good too. Number 3. We have the Juju Exchange with asking. That's it. I got shitty handwriting. I'm just gonna say it right now. I do.
Oh.
Yeah, asking the Juju Exchange. That is some shit that when you go to a hotel, you listen to them horns kick. Once them horns kick in, this is very loungy, very vibey, very, very relaxing. Like this is some shit you listen to. We just chill in the pool, have a drink of bourbon or any type of liquor, and you stare in the pool and you wondering, this is the life, ain't it? This is the music associated with that. That Juju Exchange, like, man, this I've been like a lot of these. More of these type vibe tracks, like this shit. this really got me in a good mood with this. And now, my number two track, and most of y'all will probably guess this anyway, so number two is Ghost Mane featuring Chris Christina with Kali Yuga, aka you knew I was going to say this shit in the first place.
Ghost Mane is the best Mane.
Yes, he is. This is definitely a nice fucking blend of a rap and some metal with Casino on the production, and this is a certified fucking banger. I keep rocking this shit almost every day. Listen to this. This is shit that got me bumping my head and got me grind out in private because I'm not gonna be fine with this shit, but. Yeah, this track, it wasn't for a long time, but I think all of you know what's gonna be number one of those singles. Care to guess?
Oh, I'm just here to play drums.
Oh, but damn. Okay, fuck it. Number one, you know what it is. It's Knowledge featuring Traffic with Relapse. Man, I love this song. I love that it starts beginning. This is what I like about people from Stone's Throw. They will sample shit, and you know if it is that or not. This is certified banging hip-hop at its finest. This is an instrumental that I will listen to every fucking day. This is good. And the more it came, like, the first day when it came out, I listened to this shit like 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 to 9 times, and Traffic does well good lyrics too. This is, like, when I listen to this track, I keep up my head thinking, this definitely reminds me of older times to me, because I think a lot about my past back with that music. Well, even though it has more to do with, I don't know, trying not to get shot or killed. But anyway, Knowledge hits it again. Knowledge again with this track, and man, I just gotta say, this has been one.
Sounds like you got everything you wanted out of this.
Yes, I have. I got everything I wanted from this. And who knows what happened in 2019, since I know they got to take a break because they did like a year long of this. I know they got to take like a, well, they ought to break now. So yeah, this whole 2019 would be good too.
Well, you never know. They might stealth surprise us like as soon as we get done recording this. But anyway, with Mark's contributions out of the way, now it's time for me to get to my personal top picks. And just for the record, I have the odd number of a top 21. I mean, that's basically like almost a third of this list, maybe just slightly over by like 0.1% of a third of this list. No real honorable mentions because, you know, we're just going to get right into it. So my number 21... was actually the second release off the program, Miha with Time Stops When I'm With You. What can I say? I have a soft spot for sugary sweet chiptune electronic pop. It just makes you feel nice inside. It's all bouncy and happy and everything. You know, it's, again, sugary sweet like candy or soda or something. And, you know, there's a reason why I'm a fucking fat sack of shit. I forgot where I was going with that. I like the song. It's fun. Now, number 20, Lord Raja, Zorro. You know, it's maybe a bit more simplified and streamlined than most of the more dense and complicated Lord Raja compositions, especially Fox Den off the previous, you know, year singles programs. But, you know, it's still got, like, the stuff you expect from him, like that, you know, those hip-hop vibes and that very, like, sort of aquatic beat. You know, that almost kind of sounds like it's using some similar sampled materials from Fox Den now that I think about it. But yeah, good song. And yeah, you know, if we get some more new material from him, that'd be great. Number 19, Flying Lotus, Heroes Part 5. Again, Flying Lotus always doing his thing, and his thing is always great. And especially when his thing involves Dragon Ball Z samples of Origin, which I'm still not entirely sure of. Although, listening to it again earlier today, I think it might be early Funimation Dragon Ball Z and not, like, Kai era or anything. That's my best guess. But yeah, you know, it's good stuff. Number 18. Thundercat. Final Fight. It sounds like stuff that, something that didn't make it to Drunk. And Drunk was a really good album. So, of course, this is yes, a really good song. Just with the ever, you know, smooth vocals and those hilariously contradictory lyrics that, you know, don't match at all with the smooth jazz fusion-y vibe of everything. It's all... that's why we love Thundercats so much. That and snarky jokes about anime.
Yep.
Number 17. Dobri featuring Ghostface Killa with Emancipated.
Oh, yes. Yes. Off of
33, an album which I still think is pretty good overall. And this was ultimately, like, hearing the whole album, this was one of the highlights, just because Dobri's pretty, like, you know, experimental off-kilter beats that match really well with Ghostface flow and, you know, his own snarky-ass wordplay, complete with food puns. I mean, come on, that you gotta love a song that's got, like, good, you know, food and chocolate puns in there. Number 16. Witch Mountain, Midnight. Yes, the basically the lead single, essentially, off of Witch Mountain's newest album, the self-titled one. They're first with Kayla Dixon, in fact. And, you know, she is a big part of why the song works. Like, she is a great vocalist to be doing this kind of sludgy, stoner, kind of Black Sabbath-y throwback sort of thing. The, you know, the riffs are really meaty and heavy, the tempo's very groovy and swinging, the vocals have that appropriate swagger and, you know, going into, like, the deeper growly parts when necessary. Again, thumbs up to it. And the album is pretty cool as well if you haven't heard it. Number 15, John Wayne, Last Fall. Yeah, this is, again, I really liked Rap Album 2, had it in my, you know, year-end list for last year. And this is another just extension of what makes John Wayne really work. You know, he's got a really, you know, great ear for, I don't know if he produces beat, but, like, he knows how to choose his beats very well. It's that very, you know, sort of moody, almost new job as J Dilla sort of thing. And, you know, just him, you know, just got that really good flow, that clever wordplay, and just him being, like, pretty straight up and honest about dealing with his own, you know, mental anxieties and everything. It's a really, you know, engaging listen on a pure lyrical, miracle, spiritual sort of level. Number 14, Brian Eno and Kevin Shields, Only Once Away, My Son.
Oh, shit, that was close to my list.
Yeah, there was no shortage of, like, very long, you know, sort of ambient, droning, electronic jams that just kind of repeatedly vamped or swelled on certain ideas.
You know? Definitely.
And this one, for me, was, like, one of the absolute best ones. Definitely just in terms of, like, how it switches between, like, you know, ambient drone and almost kind of noise. Just, like, the way it uses dynamics in terms of how it can swell gradually to the point where it's, like, filling every pocket of sound possible, then kind of dipping, then swelling again, almost like a very drawn-out musical roller coaster. You almost don't even notice the changes. It's the perfect sort of, like, vibe song that definitely, like, you know, really just catches your attention with just how thoughtfully it's composed and, you know, makes every second count, basically. Plus, I have, you know, the vinyl that they put out on Record Store Day with the song. So, you know, that's a plus.
Oh, yeah.
Number 13, Caitlin Aurelia Smith, Abstractions. Yes, definitely one of the beefier listens on this list in terms of sheer runtime, basically running shit the length of, like, you know, a half hour Adult Swim television program. It's a break from, like, her usual more, you know, straightforward to the point sort of ambient, you know, compositions. This one, again, is more experimental with its, like, more droning aspects and its heavy usage of, like, some glitchy parts, but also, like, some all those cartoon sound effects in there, you know, feeling like they were sampled from, like, a Tex Avery and Chuck Jones marathon. It's a very, you know, unique listen and a way to usher in whatever her, you know, this abstractions project thing that she's going to have running on the side. It's, you know, it's a really, you know, I could listen. I've listened to it a few times the whole way through, so I had to give it that spot because it's just, you know, if I can listen to it, you know, that whole thing, you know, it's got to be worth something at least. Number 12, Ducky, No Love for the Boys. Again, this is another. This one's pretty much here for the same reason that Miha's here. I have a sub spot for this kind of, like, you know, it's super sugary sweet and, like, over the top. It's stupidly catchy ear, electronic ear candy, essentially. And, you know, it's certainly got, like, a more, like, I think somewhat more unique vibe than Miha in a sense. It really knows how to, like, take advantage of its various, some, you know, pockets, dips, and the more glitchier vocal effects and everything. It's just, it's stupidly catchy. I find myself humming, like, you know, if you're not my friend, you're a toy to me, like, every now and then. It's just, like, that ridiculously catchy. Number 11, The Voids, Cool as a Ghoul. Now, as someone who hasn't really given much of a shit about whatever the Strokes have been doing in the past couple years, I was surprised to hear about this cool Julian Casablancas project. And I think the big reason why I like the song ultimately is because it feels like a throwback to one of my favorite periods of music that stretched during the 90s when alternative rock was dominated by just the weirdest fucking shit out there. You know, the golden period of like early Beck and Primus, the Butthole Surfers, Meat Puppets, Green Jello, all just that really super weird alternative rock sort of things. And this song definitely feels like it is that, basically. You know, it's the super weird, like, almost kind of surf rock processed through a lot of industrial production and tones. The weird, like, droning, listless vocal rambling. That break towards the end with, like, that weird announcer voice announcing, like, you know, tyrant or dictator of the year or whatever. It's just, I miss that time period of alternative rock. Don't you? Don't you all miss when alternative rock was just fucking weird?
Yeah, a little bit.
I do.
We missed The Witness.
Now we are in the top 10. Number 10. Simple Tasks Became Unthinkable. He Just Stared Into Coiled Ernie Balls Until He Ended by Venetian Snares. Ah, this, this.
You said the full title!
Now.
Of course I said it. You didn't. Ernie
Balls, are we talking Cobalt, Paradigm, or regular?
Well, that's too damn long!
I think you'd have to ask Venetian Sears, you know, when he's not making albums that are sampled from his cats. But, yeah, this one, super interesting. I have an on and off understanding of Venetian Sears' music firsthand, but this does sort of fit into the vague picture I have of him. You know, just this really uncomfortable, like, sparse, but glitchy, dense, and detailed, you know, electronic sort of thing. Pretty much like the predecessor to stuff like 10 Tricks Point Never, in a sense. Just the super, like, off-kilter, weird vibes to it. Like, you're not really sure how to feel, but it feels like the best kind of, like, unnerving electronic music sensation. And, you know, it's, I found myself listening to it quite a bit, in fact. Now we just need to set aside some time to go through the whole Venetian Snares discography proper. Maybe I'll find more absurdly long song and album titles. Number 9. Colin Stetson, The Rain Like Curses. Another one of the more mammoth listenings, perhaps more manageable since it's at, you know, 10 minutes. But it is 10 minutes of just pure musical virtuosity. You know, like, I'll admit I don't know much about Colin Stetson, although I have been trying to get into him recently. You know, he had that XI project, that progressive metal thing from last year. There was the soundtrack he did this year to Hereditary last month. And I actually listened to one of his other albums recently as Sorrow, a reimagining of Gorecki's Third Symphony. So I'm slowly getting a hang on them, and this one definitely made me want to check out all this stuff because it's just crazy, like, how he keeps repeatedly vamping on, like, you know, that saxophone line. Like, I know he's a strong, you know, he focuses on, you know, extended techniques, primarily, like, circular breathing, just to be able to hold out stuff like that for a long time. And, you know, that combined with, like, some of the other percussive elements in there, Is that even percussive elements? I think he might actually just be, like, you know, vamping, maybe, like, tapping on, like, his saxophone, like, on another, you know, track in the mix or whatever. But yeah, this one is basically just, like, Australian wilderness type of music. And it's just, you know, very epic and engaging and suspenseful in that kind of sense. So, you know, congratulations, Colin. You got me wanting to check out more of your stuff. Number 8. IDK and Young Leash. Baby Scale. Yes. Of course, like, I had to put this one as well because, come on, like, this is, like, the song that made us want to get more into this guy, and with good reason, because, again, he has, like, that uncanny, perfect balance of, like, very dense, you know, lyrical content in terms of themes and, you know, actual wordplay and flow, and just straight up, like, fucking banger ass trap rap. Like, normally you barely get, like, one, or if you get, like, the other, you don't get, like, both. But this guy can meld both together pretty much seamlessly. So, you know, props to him, and congratulations on getting a 10th spot for the freshman class. Thank God they actually decided to give it to
you. You deserved it.
You know, that reminds me, I think we have to check out those ciphers. I never did get around to those.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We are lazy.
Number 7. More Mother. Mogfest Durational Sound Installation. As far as I know, I'm the only one here that listened to the entire 3 hours of this. So that alone means I kind of have to put it pretty high if I was engaged enough to plow through the whole thing. Because let me tell you, this song, or this set that she played, is a fucking trip and a half. With all the weird tangents it, like, goes through, from, you know, its more aggressive industrial bits to, like, just the long, drawn-out ambient passages, to right up about the end when she starts getting, you know, conscious and, you know, ranting about just how, you know, fucked everything is in American society. Everything from, you know, the evangelical Christian right wing of American politics to just plain old capitalism being bullshit. This is a fucking experience. The kind of thing that, quite frankly, makes me wish I could have been there at that set at Mogfest. So, you know, again, props to More Mother. Anyone who can make me listen to a whole 3 hours of one song, that counts for a lot. And we're not slowing down with the beefy listens, because at number 6, a song that was 16 minutes long, so significantly shorter, but still a pretty packed listen for a single song, Sleep, Legs Beneath. Alex, pass me my bong. I got some fat hits I want to rip right now. Yes. Just on the heels of releasing their excellent new album, The Sciences, having this extra little gift to give to us, this, you know, sort of very lengthy, drawn out, you know, stoner doom, you know, jam fest, basically, feels it's more Sleep, but, like, Sleep really know how to ride, like, the Sleep aesthetic. You know, to use the language of, you know, as Crash Thompson would put it, they may be a one-trick pony, but they are goddamn masters at that one trick. Just some really, like, fuzzy, super sludgy, heavy, just, you know, stoner doom to just vibe out to after you've had one too many and you suddenly feel like grabbing the goldfish. Hopefully it's not the goldfish that got recalled, because, you know.
Ooh.
Number 5. Mm-hmm. Pole Bearer. Dropout. Now, this one is relatively on the shorter end of Pole Bearer jams, coming in at, you know, a crisp 5-6 minutes of listening time. But it is every bit as, you know, emotional, soulful, and, you know, a vibe sort of sensation as we've gotten from any of their tracks. You just listen to, you know, the sludgy low-end guitars mixed with those high, you know, very lush melodies, not just from the guitar, but also the soaring, clean vocals that just, you know, it feels nice to listen to. You can just sit there and just absorb, you know, the sensations of, like, you know, being almost like high, like on cloud 9, essentially. Pretty, you know, again, damn good vibe jams from Pole Bearer. Plus, they played the song live when I saw them, you know, like last month. So, you know, that was fun to hear. Number four. Ghostmane X claims casino Kali Yuga.
Yeah!
The most banger-ass rap track that we all got this year. No fucking questions asked. Clams Casino always knows how to do some killer off-kilter beats that are, like, super experimental, but still fucking, you know, you want to, like, bang and crank this shit up on, like, the car stereo. And Ghostmane, with, like, his fucking really weird, you know, kind of, you know, it's sort of delivery that's, like, almost akin to, like, the vague sense of SoundCloud rap, but still has enough of that haunting sort of vibe that you would expect from someone who imbues their sound with a lot of influence from, like, industrial grind and black metal. And while this might not be the most representative, because it's more of, like, a creepy song, like, with, like, all those bell hits and everything, it's still every bit, you know, the fucking, like, hype-ish shit jam that I want to hear out of, you know, rap songs and shit. You know, all the other SoundCloud rappers out there, you gotta fucking step your game up, people. Number three, Super Unison, Orchids, one of the more post-hardcore-ish, shall we say, kind of jams. Maybe something that you would probably fit more with, like, the, I don't know, like, the unweird but still really good side of, like, 90s alternative rock. It's just, I really love, like, the guitar work on this thing. You know, like, the actual, like, grungy sort of chorusy effects on, like, the guitar layers. The really, you know, fast driving, you know, drum beats. The melodies themselves are, like, really pleasant, especially when you're hearing, like, the vocals, you know, layered underneath it. And especially when it gets to, like, the back end where the vocals get, like, a little bit more heavier while it still maintains that very, like, pretty melodic vibe to it. It's just, I found myself listening to this one way more than I thought I was going to. Like, I thought it was pretty damn good, like, the week that it came out, but, like, I just kept coming back to it because it was just, like, really damn catchy. Plus, I ultimately ended up listening to, like, their, you know, their debut album, which is, like, you know, pretty damn good as well, and I wonder when's the next time I'm gonna get to hear more from these guys. And girl, of course. Number two. Power Trip. Hornet's Nest. Of course, right damn near at the top, gotta fucking go with, like, the one of the gnarliest, just fucking heavy as shit thrash jams. Pretty much the only thrash jam, now that I think about it, on this entire list. Just everything you love about the Power Trip sound is on full display here. With that fucking booming wall of noise production, with those sort of, you know, sort of more ethereal tinges to everything, but it's still very claustrophobic in its atmosphere. The fucking saturated, huge fucking, like, thrash guitar riffs, the pummeling, you know, drum rhythms, and just those fucking gnarled, like, vocals and everything, just coating everything in layers of oppressive atmosphere. It's fucking just goddamn. Like, this is, like, okay, as far as 2017, you were either on the Code Orange train or the Power Trip train, and this song makes me glad that I chose the Power Trip hype train to ride on, because goddamn, this shit has some fucking power to it. Goddamn! No, seriously, someone give me tickets to the Adult Swim Festival so I could see these guys, please.
Yeah, what he said.
Give us all tickets.
And now, number one. You probably already know what my number one is. I'm pretty sure I called it the week that it came out. And if you listen to our last album roundup, you probably could already piece together I was going to say this was number one. Zeelin Ardor, Baphomet. Now, this one, the main reason that it's number one, apart from the fact that it's just a killer goddamn jam, it might deviate a bit from the more black metal side of Zeelin Ardor. This would be more of like an aggressive, like, almost kind of like groovy metalcore jam, but still fitting in those spiritual gospel sort of roots elements in there with just an impossible amount of swagger, soul, and charisma. But the main reason this is number one is because one of the main points of like Adult Swim singles is, as they say, to share some of the new jams from some of our favorite artists and yours. But on top of that, it always has the chance of exposing you to people you've never heard of before. And I did, you know, get into some new stuff from some of these, like, you know, stuff like John Wayne, The Void, Colin Stetson, IDK, all that stuff. Of course, Ghostman Claims Casino, too. But I think of all the artists that I got into because of this past year's program, Zeal and Orador easily turned out to be the best one of those. So just based on that alone, that getting into this guy's music because of this song is probably the best decision I made because of this program, that alone is why he's number one. And, you know, again, the song itself just being a fucking killer, just, you know, metal jam that's just stupidly catchy as hell. You know, the grooves slam down really hard. The vocal passages are all really memorable and interesting. It's just, this is indeed the one song I probably listen to the most. So, again, thank you to Zeal and Orador. Thank you to Adult Swim and to King Adamus DeMarco for blessing us with this song and all of these other fine musical offerings. Your work is much appreciated.
Hear, hear.
Now I need a sip of water.
Mm-hmm. Now I have to find out a way to download all this stuff to put on my on my classic 2008 era iPod classic, because I'm one of those people who actually likes to carry, you know, a big music collection with me at all times.
Psst! It's called YouTube to MP3 Downloader.
Yes, yes, I know. I have one on my computer. But still, you know, I want proper MP3 files with metadata and, you know, a good bitrate.
Yeah, don't we all? And now, with that lengthy bit of discussion out of the way, time to take care of one last bit of business, and that is the new album releases for July 27th, 2018. But first off, before we get to the ones that are technically coming out first on Friday, we need to mention that earlier yesterday, I believe, we got a surprise drop of the new Psycho Stick album, simply titled Do. As in, like, go do this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so now go do that voodoo that you do so well.
Yeah, what he said.
Do.
But that album won't be coming out proper until July 27th as far as the streaming services. So, you know, you gotta wait a few days for that. But now for the rest of the list here, starting at the top. Dee Snider, formerly or currently of Twisted Sister, I'm not sure. But, you know, he's coming out with a new album, For the Love of Metal. Then, up next, there's the new Hailstorm release, Vicious. So if that's your thing, you know, there's that. Otep Shamaya and her band, also known as Otep, with their newest album, Cult 45. Thou, releasing their third EP of the year, titled Rhea Sylvia. Denzel Curry with the first part of his Taboo project, however that works. Country musician Kenny Chesney with his newest project, Songs for the Saints. And last, and I need to make this clear, definitely the least, fucking Daughtry with his newest project, Cage to Rattle.
People said,
I'm going to have a story to Daughtry? Tell the roundup.
This is the Daughtry.
Nobody likes Daughtry. He is the roasted nuts of music.
Again, I'm going to have a story to tell.
Can't wait to hear it. But yeah, we should probably clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, or of Azure, wherever you do your social stuff on the internet, where I will, you know, pop up every so often when I'm not dead tired from, you know, strep throat, which is not good in any way. I'm tired tonight.
Mark, what about you?
Usual Twitter, my type of media, on my site, on Hyper1 at hyper1.wordpress.com. So hey, We Bad Breath is coming back, and they're doing that hour thing that they're doing next week, meaning I got a lot of shit to do.
Well, you probably better get on that then. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Curious Cat, at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, if you have questions, comments, concerns, inquiries, memes, and free tickets to the Adult Swim Festival. Hint, hint. You know, be sure to check out Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Usually, video usually goes up at the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Super Resolution. You know, just subscribe, hit the bell tab, so you're always notified whenever new episodes go up there. Be sure to check out the website on various social media. Follow on Twitter at SuperRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit us at SuperResolution.com. And find this podcast on DecibelBoost.SuperResolution.com, where you can listen to past episodes of that. And also check out our other podcast, Podcast ONA, for anime content.
I'm going to try and get this massive monster of an episode done by this weekend. It's going to take a lot of editing prowess. Ugh.
Be sure to keep up with our written content as well. Mr. Mark over here has reviewed the newest album, Hive Mind, from the internet.
And it is damn good.
And I'm trying to see if I can, I gotta edit this podcast first, and I'm trying to see if I can get something up by either the weekend, but unfortunately I'll probably gotta be delayed to next week, it seems like. What will it be? Who knows? That's the fun. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat as well if you ever want to see us argue over pizza topped with Cheetos. Yummy. And of course, a shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week for episode 91. And until next time... Just cut one break line and I could be sitting behind that desk.
Whose line references?